Everybody, welcome to the first annual Honeymooners Podcast Raccoon Convention. Yes! Who's fans of the Honeymooners Podcast? Get right here for the Honeymooners Podcast. All right, half people. Okay, taking a picture. I'll make sure I'm smiling. All right, my name is Joe Fernandez. I'm a friend of the podcast, and I'm here to welcome you all tonight to this great event. How's the food? Oh, you? Yes. You must have seen my act before, sir. Okay. Oh, you heard of the podcast? Okay, there we go. So without further ado, let me welcome the hosts of the podcast, the Honeymooners Podcast, Joe Conti and Louis Fats, everybody!
You guys want to cut the music? All the way over there. How are you, everybody? Welcome. Listen, before we even get started, as soon as the, I think, where's Joe? We got the music playing, but we have a special introduction before we get going, okay? And I think most of you are going to recognize this voice. Here we go.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the first Honeymooners Podcast Raccoon Convention at Uncle Vinny's Comedy Club with Joe Conti and Louis Fats and the great Brian Carney. Verily, have yourselves a wonderful time.
The great Dave Ingram.
Dave Ingram. The voice.
And so what we're going to do is, before we even get started, we are going to sing the Raccoon Lodge marching song.
So we have it in front of you.
All right? Make sure it's string of polo ponies, not palapanies. All right, people? All right. Are you guys ready? Hit it!
In the west and in the east, there's a mighty little beast. For courage, there is no other. When the chips are all at stake, the raccoon will never break. We are proud to call him brother. So with our noble tails entwined and a spirit strong of mind, we'll have hearts that cannot melt. In the forest and the trees, on the land and seven seas, we're brothers under the pelt. Raccoon, the noble raccoon.
Give yourself a round. Unbelievable.
I tell you, my mother or father, they would ask. Yeah.
All right, so I prepared a little speech that I wanted to just kind of start the show with. You know, I wanted to go over with all of you. All right? Are you ready?
Almost ready.
He's almost ready.
You know me with these cell phones. These
yeah, exactly. You know, Lou's got his rotary phone in the car hooked up to the cigarette lighter.
Bensonhurst Zero.
Yeah. 77441. 41. All right.
All right, okay.
Here we go. Greetings. It's not the best way to start, but...
Oh, the draft board did pretty good with that one.
Okay. Welcome to the first Honeymooners Podcast Raccoon Convention at Uncle Vinny's. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Dino. Yeah.
Yes. Thank you, Dino. Welcome all you raccoons, full-grown nuts, and all of you who brought your wife to this house.
Your wife?
Yes, my wife.
You're not going to stand there and tell me that your wife is at this convention.
Actually, my wife's home with
monochromia,
yeah. Hold on, she got a stink with the thing of the flu, right? Yeah, exactly. Well, attack of the flu, yes. He sung that very well. Got attacked with the flu. Yes, it was just... What a historic day for the podcast and the raccoons. The last time anything like this happened, Alf Landon was presidential temper, Captain Video was on TV, and Trixie and Alice were wearing the same dress.
The shoe's on the other foot.
Yes, that's true. We have so much in store for tonight, especially, let me see, what's it, number 22?
Argues too much.
Well, not argues too much, but it's the great Brian Carney!
Yeah!
We have other special guests, like Michael Bruce and Ron Albanese.
Yeah.
Of course, and of course, you sit down, Ron. You'll have your time.
Nobody told you.
And of course, Joe Fernandez, yes. Who's a phenomenal comic.
Great
and
Joe
friend and helped us out with all of this. We have fellow full-grown nuts selling some cool merchandise, as you know, in the back. Things like the helpful housewife handy, happy, I can't even say the friggin' thing.
And wart remover?
And wart remover, yeah. Yes. A box to put hairpins in.
Sorry, I don't have any hairpins.
Oh, I'm sorry. Bowling trophies, Napoleon orange juice squeezers.
And it's practical, too.
Yes, yes. And even a ring that says to my great pal from Ed Norton. So in between the podcast and the games, we'll hang like we did before, and we'll walk around.
Hold on.
We'll walk around.
All around,
yes, thank you. We'll mingle, look for Mrs. Gallagher's cat.
You had your hat on backwards.
I did, yes. Find the street lamp to stand under with your hat off.
Hold on, Joe, you're going too fast.
Oh, I'm sorry.
But it's not even dark out. This is perfect. Soupy Sales is jealous.
Yes, exactly. Mrs. Gallagher's hat. You had your hat on backwards, right? Find a street lamp to stand under with your hat off.
But it's not even dark out.
Exactly. Learn how to do the mamba since everybody's doing it.
Everybody's doing it? You said everybody's doing it. My grandmother never did it.
And maybe, just maybe, afterwards, we'll take you upstairs to meet the mayor.
Don't forget to give yourself 50 minutes for the lecture.
So I hope you enjoyed the eats. I hope you imbibed a little bit.
You're not suggesting that the raccoons imbibe at a convention.
Like Ralph said to Alice on their wedding day, I do, and I'm the boss.
I'm going to print that.
You're going to print that?
Yeah.
Yes. So welcome, everybody. Welcome to the... Yes, thank you. Huh. What?
You forgot Ali Khan.
You forgot Ali Khan? Oh, that's right. Yeah, roam around like you're on a safari.
With Ali Khan.
With the cell phone with Ali Khan. It's okay. But you know what? We just found out, before we even continue, we were asked by Dino if we would do this again next year. So I have to ask you guys, if we would do this again next year, would you guys come back?
There you go. Here's your answer, Dino.
So, Dino, we're not going to have one next year. So. Nope. He gave me the date, March 30th of 2025. So, pencil that in, and we'll do this again.
Book it, Dino.
Yes.
There you go. I knew we had to do this again real soon.
Very good.
So, what we're going to do is, this is part of the podcast. We're starting it now, and we're going to do this for a little bit. And then we'll take a break, we'll roam around for a while, we'll do some more mingling, then we're going to do the $99,000 answer with three contestants, and we'll get three contestants come up here. And then, later on, right before we leave, on those two screens, we're going to drop the lights, and we're going to watch one episode together. All of us together. And I'm not going to tell you the episode yet, but we picked the episode because it has one of Brian's dad's, his favorite line that his dad put on the whole series, so we're using that episode. It's "Oh My Aching Back," all right? I couldn't help it. I had to let you guys know. It's "Oh My Aching Back."
Yep.
And we know what that is, and that is 111, right back there. Yes, that's one of your favorite lines from your dad. So, what we want to do, and three, yes, he loves 99, 98, 97, three. I hope a mathematician didn't sneak in here and they'd be like, are you guys kidding? So, what we want to do is we want to bring up two of our good friends who have been on the podcast many times, and we want to introduce them. Michael Bruce and Ron Albanese. Come on up.
Joe, I have to tell you, looking out
for the first time.
and everybody here tonight like this, it just I can't help but think of the Knights of the Round Table and King Arthur. Just,
you'll leave town tonight!
Your knees are showing.
Look at me, I'm 12!
What we wanted to do was ask...
It's like a lineup, police lineup here, Joe. I didn't do it. If I did, I didn't mean it.
These guys, obviously responsible for all of us being here, and I said yeah. We would like to interview you two, because you guys are, in our world, you guys are stars. You're celebrities. I know it doesn't, but you really are. I mean, you brought us all together. We look at the Honeymooners in such a way now. He's put it on there.
No, that was, yeah, you're right. It was a stipulation when we had the idea to do this whole thing that we wanted to interview these guys.
Mm-hmm. So first thing is, tell us, where did you meet? How do you know each other?
We met at work. Oh. How long ago? 20 years, maybe?
Yeah.
No, 20 years ago.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah, we actually have real jobs. I'm not really a podcaster by profession.
You start right in.
Yeah, you're right now with a few hell of stupids.
So at what point, so you work together in the same spot. Yeah. So at what point do you figure out that each one of you is a Honeymooners lunatic?
He was a long time before...
Louis was definitely a Honeymooners fan a lot more than I was, right?
Yeah,
you guys. And I don't want to bring anybody down, but a friend of mine named Otto, if you guys ever heard of Otto and George,
sure.
The ventriloquist.
Yeah.
Otto Peterson, he was a phenomenal comic, and he passed away in 2014, and we used to always talk Honeymooners, and I was very down, so I went into this dark depression where I just watched Honeymooners, like, every day for, like, 3 years. And... so I can honestly say one thing happened that was good, that my friend died, was that I became a DEFCON 3. I became a DEFCON 3 because of that. And then me and Louis just started talking one day because they were already doing the, you know, the doing the lines back and forth. And we were having coffee one day. I said, dude, why don't we just do a podcast about it?
And I said to you, what's a podcast?
And then we just started doing it and it turned into this.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was something. During the, you guys launched in 2020, right?
2019.
So here I am in a pandemic, you know, and you're looking around for some entertainment and stuff. And one day I just punched in Honeymooners, literally on Spotify. And that's how I discovered the podcast. And I think, as you said, Joe, earlier, a lot of us listen to the episodes over and over again. Right, folks?
Yeah. There's Zoloft at the door if you need some. If you listen to it more than twice, you're mentally ill. I'm just
counseling
saying.
Services, yes.
Now, can the two of you recall how you got into the Honeymooners?
You know how?
Wait, you know how? That's a twos, by the way.
It was about 1975, I would say, when I graduated high school. A friend of mine started watching Honeymooners. We were all hanging out. He started talking about it. Now he was aware of the Honeymooners because they've been on forever. And I just started watching it. We started watching it, all of us. Lines throwing, just like we're doing here, just throwing lines at each other, and that was it.
Joe, you?
Yeah.
It was my dad and my uncle, because they would always say how
there.
Sweet it is. Yeah, they were both there, yeah. And they would just say how sweet it is all the time. And I used to watch Abbott Costello with my dad on Sunday afternoons. Oh, yeah. And then in 1987, when I was a senior in high school, it was on 11 o'clock on Channel 11. It was Odd Couple, Twilight Zone, Star Trek, and Honeymooners, and it was a version of that for like three or four, you know.
The Holy Four.
What?
The Holy Four shows, right?
The Holy Four, yeah. And then I just started watching it, and I was like, this is so awesome. And, you know, me being a chunky kid, it made me identify with Ralph a little bit, too, so, yeah.
Do you happen to remember your first episode you ever saw?
No, not at all.
All I remember was one of my favorites when it first started was Chef of the Future. Just something about that.
Oh, it's incredible.
I mean, it's still one of my favorites, but not my top favorite anymore. Mm-hmm. Oh, My Aching Back is my top favorite. That's why we're playing it later.
But that was like your gateway into it.
Exactly. That. Yeah, yeah.
Makes sense. You were younger and the more physical. Yeah. It's more farcical. You know.
Yeah.
Does anybody remember the very first episode they ever saw?
Farcical. Great question.
No, does anybody? I do.
Hardest question.
John? Yeah, we know your name's John. That's why we said it. Yeah.
He saw that.
I saw your name tag.
Okay. That episode when they were in the apartment.
No. What was it?
He made a fat joke at Ralph. No.
Oh, he's wearing the bus driver's uniform.
Yeah.
I don't have one.
Oh, when I was 4 years old.
Hold on a second.
Profile.
What? Come up here real quick. Just come up right here real quick.
Joe, you're in the way of the picture.
Sorry.
He used to really be in the way of the picture.
This is...
Are you snapping? Just, are you taking them, sir?
This is John Baird.
This is John Baird.
Full grown nut of the week.
He sells insurance, everybody.
I was roughly like 4 years old, and my dad came home late at night from like playing cards with his friends or whatever, and I was up, and him and my mom were like, oh, we're going to watch The Honeymooners. And I'm like, oh, can I watch? I didn't know what it was. And I sat down, and the first episode that ever came on that I saw was Funny Money.
Wow. And love it.
When it started, at first I'm like, there's this eerie music and this mobster guy who reminded me of Bela Lugosi.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
I was a little iffy.
Totally. Totally. Yeah. Supposing you shut up.
When I was watching.
Hey, sister.
And I can remember laughing when she said, oh, what's that, your lunchbox? And I was like, oh, that's funny. He's a chubby guy.
That's an underrated line. Yeah. The lunchbox line. Yeah. Love that.
The first thing that I ever really remember where I really laughed hard at TV is when he's in the chauffeurs and they get the knock on the door and he's like, there's nobody in here. And like, I started laughing and I've been watching the episodes ever since. And I would get up, like my dad would go out and come home like late at night, and if I woke up, I would get up and watch The Honeymooners with him. And like with him and my mom, and that's why I'm here now with us.
Ladies and gentlemen, John Baird. You know, it brings up a good point, guys. It brings up a good point. You know, PIX obviously was a gateway for a lot of us.
Yep.
And, you know, or actually maybe we saw it sporadically, and then PIX, you know, staying up late. You know, I used to be in Seaside Park, and you couldn't get any reception on a little black and white 9-inch TV, and I would just get enough reception to watch The Honeymooners episodes, and then I'd watch Star Trek, of course, and then go to bed immediately at the theme of the Twilight Zone because I was scared to death of that show. But you know, that show really carried us, and how many times we've watched all these episodes, and you know, I just want to say at this juncture that the podcast is kind of an extension of that. And I really appreciate the fact that you guys started this and built it in such a way that it has the same type of, if not rewatchability, because it's not video, you can listen to it over and over again and recount the laughs that we had when we were younger and, of course, today. So round of applause for these two guys while we're here in the middle of this. Good stuff. Good stuff. Comedy is remedy. So... these guys are doctors.
Hey, Ron, if you want to get your own podcast, take up all the time here, all right?
The Honeymooners podcast starring Ron Albanese.
All right.
It's Uncle Finney's Comedy Club.
It sure is.
732 area code.
Yes.
Down the shore.
7741. Exactly.
That's right. Bensonhurst, 7741.
Now,
she kind of dances that line, doesn't she? I'll let you meet the mayor. He goes like this. Okay.
He's
like,
yes, he's definitely dancing.
He's really saying, shuffling.
Yes, he really
a
is.
Sudden attack of the flu. Oops. This is Michael Bruce, everybody. Joe Conte, Louis Fats.
Thank you, Ron. Thanks for explaining that.
Brian Carney, everybody. That's so cool.
By the way, this is what all
I'm
us
like
comics,
afraid to talk to you, dude.
This is what all us comics do when we're bombing. We just start, hey, give it up for the troops, everybody. This is what we do. Give it up for Brian Carney, the hero.
Oh, yes. You dirty old.
Yes, exactly. All right. Is there anything else? Because we want to do a little special thing with Michael. If you guys have anything else.
You guys have any questions for these guys?
Actually, here, I have a question. No, I don't.
You dirty.
That just kills me.
Michael Bruce.
Okay.
I don't know. Do you want to? Yeah. Is there anything else?
I'm good. If you're
good. Do you
want
to do your thing?
Well, I think.
Oh yeah.
Yes.
Sure. You want to do that? I want to know if Brian would bring up the beloved hat.
Yes.
The beloved.
Amazing.
Hat.
This is a big moment.
That's amazing.
This is a big moment here.
I know.
There.
I know.
There careful, is. Careful, I just had it blocked.
I told Joe and Lou, I said, I hate to do this in front of, you know, in front of his son, but it was a long standing where we talking in the diners and stuff like that, and I would always say that because I think it's, you know, anybody who watches the show, it looks very much like, you know, Ralph is the worst best friend ever, right? And it's, but the thing of it is, as you know, Ralph wears it on his sleeve, right? At least it's out there, right? He yells at him, hits him, kicks him out of the apartment. We could go on and on about what we see Ralph
doing. And you are going on and on.
No, I'm yes. like, yeah.
But at least he wears it on his sleeve. Norton, on the other hand, is what I always tell these guys. To me, he's, you guys be judge and jury, but I think he's the worst best friend. And I'm going to tell you why.
Because, well, I don't like to.
To me, he is very snake in the grass. He's very Pearl Harbor. He just comes out of nowhere. With say, let me give you a few
Wait
examples.
Wait, who does?
What's that? Ed? Norton. Norton is the worst best friend. Norton is the worst best
that's
friend.
A tough, I'm gonna prove, that's a tough.
Okay? So he's going to roast
you. Yeah. Couple things, right? So as far as, let's just talk about Norton's personality, okay? Arrogance. Here's a couple of incidents of major arrogance. First of all, he's in their apartment, as you know, and he's looking around. He's suddenly going to tell them that you have about the antiques. I'm going to take a look around, and he's going to do it what?
For nothing.
Free of charge. And sometimes I wake up at night and I think about this, like, completely disturbed. He's going to do it free of charge because normally you get $350 an hour.
You're going to be needing, you know, a new nurse.
Exactly, you know. And then the other time is, which I love, is that not only is he's with Frank McGillicuddy, right? The siding vote. He's in there and he's sitting on the couch like a king at the Raccoon Lodge. And first of all, he knew he was going to, he said later on, I can't even spell his name. I can't break that poor little fat boy's heart. He knew he wasn't going to vote for him, but yeah, he's over at McGillicuddy's eating steak. Yep. Okay, anyways, taking full advantage of the guy, yeah, right? Yep. And then he sits on the couch and he says, what can I get you? And McGillicuddy's running away. He wants some water. Yep. And then what does he say? Good boy.
Good boy.
40-year-old man. Good boy.
Peasant.
That peasant. Was a, yeah, peasant. Yeah, exactly. Absolutely. It's like unbelievable. But then when they're in private, right, inside the apartment, it does stuff like that, okay? Here's one thing that he does, right? It's as you know, the TV episode, right? So what does he do? They're arguing over what to do. He gets him to go out in the hallway, right, with the antenna. Locks the man out of his own apartment. Who does that? He locks him out of his own apartment, right? So then there's another episode, right?
Cheesecake?
Where he's going to be, the whole plot, he pretend that you're sleepwalking so I can go upstairs and take care of you. And he told him a million times, don't touch that icebox. What does he do? Pretends that he's sleepwalking, sits down and eats that turkey leg right in front of him. Alice is there and he knows Ralph can do nothing about it. Nothing about it, right? So he's there. And then the other thing is that I want to point out is that the in public, right, which to me, this is the worst for Mr. Norton, is that at least Ralph does it usually in private. But Norton has no boundaries, right? So the first thing that I got to point out here is that, first of all, he's in the pool hall with Harvey. He is trying to avoid getting his butt kicked. He's trying to not have a fight. What does Norton do? Instigate like crazy to fight. And he even, yeah, and then he gives the man his address. He gives him his address. I'm like, can you bless
him? He ain't as scared of you. He'll be there.
You're kidding me, right? And then he's over at Mr. Marshall's house. He's trying to get a job. Mr. Marshall, his boss of all people, and he's trying to land. What does he do? Completely takes over the room, completely takes over the conversation. And as a matter of fact, he becomes the spotlight of the whole thing. And then later on, as we know, here comes Mr. Arrogant Norton again, comes walking in, right? And we're going to discuss our relationship at the bus company with being your boss, right? So it's like, wow. But this is the one that gets me every time, where he is 328 Chauncey Street, a guy who lives there, Brooklyn, and he's going to get what? The safety award, right? It's greatest day in his life that he's going to get, and he's even going to be interviewed by the magazine. And the guy's going to interview him. And you know what I realized is that Ralph even had the courtesy when the guy offered him to, hey, I'll take you out for coffee. No. My friend Norton is supposed to meet me here. So he even puts Norton first there, right? Does the interview right there. Well, what does Norton come up, the best friend, and he wants to ask him questions. What's the first question? Right? Well, how close are you to Ralph Crandon? Well, about as close as anybody can get to Ralph Crandon.
Great line.
And even the look on Ralph's face is like, you're going to cut me down right now? You can't be serious, right? And then the next question, you know, when did you meet Mr. Crandon? Oh, about 150 pounds ago?
I never did see your baby pictures.
I mean, the guy's living a nightmare 150 pounds ago, right? And then to top it all off, what does he do? At the very end, you'd think he's giving him this major compliment that I put my life in my best friend's hands and I ride the bus with him, right? And you'd think, let's just leave it at that. All of you would have just left it at that. No, right at the very end, what does he got to do? And besides that, he lets me ride the bus for free. Like, just cuts him right down. So anyway, you guys be the judge and jury. I say Norton's the worst best friend between the two.
Sorry, I'm late. I was on your lousy bus line. Good job, Michael Bruce.
Keep it going from Michael Bruce, everybody.
Yeah, awesome, awesome.
Like a Dean Martin roast.
Mr. Carney, ladies and gentlemen.
Right in front of his son. How dare you?
Yeah, really?
All right. Well,
Chuck, I got to read this, Chuck, first.
What? Oh, please, before you guys go.
Everybody in this room, we all know the number one full-grown nut, Ira. Right? We all know Ira. So now Ira couldn't be here.
The OG.
So he's the OG. So he also gave us the rum candy to help yourself. And here's Ira. I couldn't be there because the price of coal was too high in Canarsie, so I packed up and moved to Florida. That's from our buddy Ira.
That's from our buddy Ira. Craziness. Listen, Michael Bruce and Ron Albanese, we thank you because you guys have been an essential part of our podcast. When you guys come and do the show with us, we have so much fun. Oh, and only 50% of the people complain that you guys come on the show.
Yeah.
Only 50%. That's and sometimes the odds are even higher than that.
All right? 9 out of 10 down at the depot. But,
how would you like to go sell another clubhouse, Joe Conte?
But thank you guys for everything. We appreciate you guys so much.
Appreciate Irvin K, 1888. Yes.
Michael Bruce and Ron Albanese.
Michael Bruce, 1876.
Let him hear it, everybody.
And his knees are showing.
And now, yes. You know what? Before we bring our headliner, we have to bring up two people that we are so glad that they are here.
Yeah.
All right? Where are they? Is it Mark and Doreen?
Mark and Doreen,
and there goes our
poster.
There goes, yep. I guess number 22 is on the floor now, so. Come on up, Mark and Doreen.
Mark and Doreen.
That's Michael O'Dowd's granddaughter. Come on, let her hear it.
Everybody knows who Michael O'Dowd is. It's, hey, get a load of fatso there. That's her grandfather.
Thank you.
All right. So one day about a year ago, we get a voicemail. And I could never tell you're from New York with your voice accents. Never could tell. And
from Alabama.
You said, hey, my wife, her grandfather is the great Mike O'Dowd from, you know, Benson Nurse Bomber. The Harvey episode, and he played the Get a Load of Fatso guy, who was he also on the waterfront?
The waterfront.
And he did a lot of different things. So then they called up and left a voicemail, and they reenacted the scene very quickly. Now, would you guys will be willing to reenact the scene again? All right, come on.
Yeah, go. You got
it. She kills it. Listen, we only brought him up as a prop, okay?
Stage is yours.
Hey. Watch it.
Hey, get a load of fatso there.
What did you say?
I said get a load of fatso there. Want to make something of it?
I certainly do.
That is great.
Real quick, do you remember your grandfather at all from when you were younger?
I was 11 when he passed away, but I remember him fondly. Yes.
Yeah, was he as scary of a guy that he looks like?
He was a big guy. He was like 6'3", big guy. And he used to take me to the park. And I was like down here. And he was very, very intimidating guy. Very intimidating.
But when he
was like a teddy bear.
Like when he brought you to the park, did he be like, all right, go on the slide and hurry up, kid?
No.
I can just picture him being like, here, you know what? You want to get to the top of the slide? I'll throw you up there.
No, he would take me to the park, push me on the swing. And then
you landed in Queens, but you know.
And then he said, now it's time to go to the bar.
Time to go.
You thought it was a monkey bar.
Don't tell your grandmother. So he plopped me up on top of the bar, and he would get a beer and a scotch chaser. I'd get a soda.
That's hilarious.
And he'd be like, don't tell your grandmother. So they lived right down the block. So I'd run up the stairs. I lived in a railroad apartment building.
Right.
And I'd say, guess what? Pop-Pop took me to the bar.
You ratted your grandfather out.
Oh, and my grandfather was petrified of my grandmother.
Really?
Petrified. I used to go.
That's hilarious.
Go on Saturdays because my parents worked and they watched me, and I'd sit with him, and we watch Abbott and Costello, Creature Feature.
Oh God, it's my favorite.
Yeah, and we'd sit there, and he'd play cards with me, and I used to beat him, and he used to have to give me a quarter, and he wouldn't pay me.
Of course not. Why would he pay an 11-year-old? You're like, really, you want to get out of here?
And then my grandmother would come in, and his real name was Johnny.
Double or nothing.
Johnny, and she'd whack him over the head with her, give her the money.
Wow, that is so awesome.
Great story. Great story.
Thank you so much. Mark and Doreen, thank you so much, guys. Thank you for coming.
Thank you, dude.
All right.
That's great.
That is just awesome. Listen, without further ado, we want to bring up our headliner for the night. All right? And that, of course, is the one and only, the wonderful Brian Carney. Come on up here, Brian. Come on up, Brian.
Stuff.
Funny, I can think of something.
I have to tell you, when we first interviewed and met Brian Carney in March of 2022, it was one of the most exciting things, and we were so nervous to meet him. And probably, like what you all already figured out, if you met him today, he's one of the nicest, most approachable people I've ever been around that is literally a star. Like, it's not just because of his father either. This is a musician, an actor, a voice actor, and he has been doing this forever. And I can just tell you something, and I've said this to so many people. Could you imagine you're in the business, you're an actor, you're a voice actor, you're a musician, and your father is Art friggin' Carney. Could you imagine? You're either gonna go two ways. One, hey, I really loved you. Yes, I know, my father. Yes, I know, he's great. Or you could be the way he is, and he absolutely loves talking about his father. And that just shows what kind of a man Art Carney was. Because this man is a true human being without any faults besides coming down here in Point Pleasant. But what a great man, Brian Carney, everybody. Yes.
You're very kind. Very kind. Thank you.
Now, we want to know.
It's a pleasure. It is. Look at all these faces. It's a pleasure.
It really is.
Yeah.
Does anybody have any questions they have for Brian? And this is going on the podcast. So if there's anything you want to ask him, you know. Oh, Michael. Of course it's Michael Bruce.
Anybody but him.
Anybody but him.
We're not talking to him.
You better be apologizing.
Yeah, Michael, what do you want?
No, seriously, was your father, did you ever know him to be an athlete, play sports or something? Because to me, his physical comedy on the show, he seems extremely athletic.
Very athletic.
Moves, dances, natural with a golf club. He's like so flexible. Did you ever know him to be an athlete?
No.
Next question. Great question, Michael.
No. Next question. No.
He should have just said, okay. That's what he should have said.
Oh, it's very good, sir.
Is anybody else? Because, wait a minute, hold on.
No,
but
really,
come on up, because I want the question to be on the microphone. So come on up.
I never heard of him.
Say who you are,
playing any sports.
And then just ask the question to Brian.
Thank you. Pleasure to meet you. My name is Chris Falair. I'm from Ramsey, New Jersey, up north. Huge fan. One of the best segments on YouTube is watching your dad when he wins the Academy Award for Harry and Tonto. And I don't know if anybody's ever seen that movie, but if you want to know the brilliance of Art Carney as an actor, watch Harry and Tonto. Did he ever give you any feedback on that, or did he?
Well, he's not an animal lover. That was one of the things he told me.
Wow.
But no, he was thrilled to get that award.
Look who he beat out for that award.
Yeah.
Nicholson.
He beat out some heavy hitters.
Warren Beatty. Albert Finney. Upright. Little Jack Little. My mother, father.
They were there.
No, he was really thrilled when that happened. I think he was definitely the sentimental favorite. which, not taking away from his job on the movie, but those other guys, I think the Academy realized these guys are going to win awards coming up, and of course they did. Al Pacino, you know.
Chinatown.
What's that?
Chinatown, Nicholson.
Yeah, Nicholson in Chinatown.
He was just better. He was better.
Was that all about the Hong Kong Gardens? I'm not sure.
But it was thrilling for all of us when his name was named, and he got up and he did like a football kick or something.
That's exactly right.
He kicked his foot.
I watched that segment on YouTube of him winning that. You won't believe it. He's so surprised, and he does a couple Norton moves, and he says, "I am old." I think that's
about his agent said, "Yeah, take the job. You are old." Yeah, they made him look about 20 years older than he really was.
Well, he's given a lot of pleasure to all of us here and with the comedy, and a multi-talented man, and God bless you for coming.
Oh, thank you so much. Okay, well, thank you for coming.
Thank you. Don't let him soft soap you, Brian. Don't let him soft soap you. Hold on, we got somebody here.
August Gunther.
August Gunther?
Yes.
I love your donuts. Eat them all the time, pal.
I love his donuts. I eat them all the time, right? No, what I want to know is, I know Jackie Gleason is famous for not rehearsing. How comfortable is your dad with the other staff? The fact that they had to rehearse, but he came in just walking in from the bar.
This is just from what my dad told me. It made it difficult to rehearse because Gleason's timing was so his own.
Right.
They had people reading his lines with the other actors. Mm-hmm. And then came time for the day of the shoot. Mm-hmm. And Gleason said the reason that he used to do that was for the spontaneity. And I can't argue with him.
Now, is it true that when Gleason didn't know his line, he put his hand like this? And
yeah,
someone
I've
else
heard
would,
that, yeah. He used to do he, that, he, and somebody
would pat his stomach,
his
and someone went off stage
yeah,
would yell the line
also.
To him. Okay.
But, you know, when they were shooting this show, I was like 10 years old, 11 years old, so... Right. But that's one I've also heard.
Yeah, no, because, you know, I watched the show from my father's knee. You know, I was 6-7 years old. And, you know, my son is here, too. And, you know, we've been generation on him. When we
so your mother and father.
They were there.
They're there. But as I said, I told you the story about meeting your uncle.
Right? Yeah, right.
Okay.
My Uncle Ned.
Yeah, I'm a dentist, everyone, if you don't know.
Boo!
No, I'm joking. I'll make this quick. Cause
I'm
we all,
joking.
Okay. We want to, you know, we want to go, you know, we all want to go home. But anyway, I was at Hotel Fair. In,
you all want to go home.
I was at the Hotel Fair in West Point, okay? And I went into the foyer, and the fire was crackling in the fireplace, and all the leather, and there was a coffee table. And I was sitting on one side of it. I was at a seminar at the Fair, you know, hotel there in West Point. I see a gentleman across from me, spitting image of his father. I'm telling you, I thought it was his twin. And then I look at his name tag, it's Dr. Carney. I says, that's got to be either his brother or, you know, someone. And I went over to him. He was a periodontist that worked in Connecticut. And I said, I've been watching your brother's shows, you know, The Honeymooners for such a long time. And I just couldn't believe that was my first touch with The Honeymooners, that I met his brother. Ned, his name was?
Ned. And he was a dentist.
Yes, a periodontist.
Yep.
Yes, and so that was my first brush with The Honeymooners. But as I said, he would look exactly like his father.
Yeah, they looked very much alike.
Okay. Well, that's it. Thank you.
Thank you.
August. Thank you.
Anybody else got any? Oh, wait, hold on.
No,
Ron, sit down.
No, you don't.
Ro? Hold on.
Rosanna.
Hi. No, I wanted to ask, you do a great job. You're a relative, obviously, of a cast member. And as the years go on, I'm sure there's less and less people with connections to the show that are interested in perpetuating interest in this show. Do you have any connections to anyone else who was maybe related to people? Did you ever keep in touch with me? I know Joyce Randolph has a son. We were talking about Jackie Gleason had grandsons, you know, who are still around.
yeah.
middle-aged. There's people who are relatives of the show that can, you know, keep this going and keep an interest and keep people here in conventions doing things like this. Do you have any connections to people like that, or do you feel
I'm the only one.
Sole guy?
I really do.
Yeah.
I know Gleason had, a son and a daughter.
I think it had two daughters, right?
I thought it was just one daughter and one son. I don't know. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But I know when I was going through basic training down in Fort Campbell, Kentucky, the group before my group, apparently his son was there. So I missed him by a few weeks. Wow. And that would have been kind of funny to have the two of us going through basic training together.
Yeah.
His daughter... Gleason's daughter still takes care of his estate along with her husband. Yeah. This is the last I've heard. Okay. But other than that, Joyce Randolph, no, I don't know anybody
that's
connected with the show.
Yeah, so it's all...
Other than Mike's granddaughter.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
That's right.
You're bestowed upon you, but you own it now, so that's great.
I enjoy it.
Great. Thank you.
Awesome.
Thank you. Good. Thanks, Roseanne.
Way to bring the show down, Roseanne. Thank you. We were having a good time. You're like, everybody's dead. What happened? Everybody's gone. Is there anybody left?
Can I get a chair up here?
Yes, can we get him a chair? Can we get the man a chair?
Oh, look out.
Herman. Here we go.
Look out now.
Can I get a cue, please? No. You're on the air.
You're on the air.
Thank you. First, I want to say, I mentioned to Brian just a little while ago that today I found a clip I never saw before from the 1986 Ralph convention at the Felt Forum that I was at. And Brian is in that clip, and that was the first time I met Brian back then. And I remember knowing then it was the last one. And I was really sad. I was a young guy thinking, wow, why did it have to end now? I'm having so much fun. So to be back here, I actually traveled all the way from Gettysburg, Pennsylvania.
Okay.
And great. I'll also, I know Gettysburg is a place people like to visit. If you ever come out, I live in a famous building called the Orphanage. It's very haunted. So if anybody comes out, you'll get a free tour of Gettysburg and a ghost tour. You just got to look me up. The Orphanage. Remember that. So my question is, does your dad ever say what his favorite episode was of the classic 39?
I have people ask me this question, what my favorite episode is, and it's tough to name one.
I know it is.
He never mentioned to me what his favorite episode was. I know he did like one of my favorites, too, when they're on the train with the bunk beds. That was always one of my favorites.
Huh? Right here, boom.
Boom.
There's no key.
Thank you, Brian.
Thank you.
Get up there. Brian, didn't you meet somebody on the subway once? George from...
Everybody
knows George from the pool room scene.
Yep.
Yeah, my friend.
I was riding the subway in Manhattan.
Yeah, listen to this.
No, I was just kidding about the chair.
Joe, you're a comedian. That was a joke.
But I didn't want to ruin a good set.
All right. Well,
not going to ruin a good set.
There you go. I'm going to sit soprano style.
Now, look at it. It's like he's talking to the young, cool kids now. He's sitting backwards. You had your chair on backwards. That's why.
Catch you later. So the George story.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. The little guy that in the pool hall that was with Harvey, I'm riding the subway in Manhattan, and I turn around, and sitting right in front of me is George. And
Leslie Barrett. Yes, I think that's his
name,
right?
Yeah, that's right. And I went over
to him. So Leslie's a lovely name, by the way.
He really was, yeah. He was a great guy, very, very nice. I only talked to him for a minute or so. But that was a big surprise to run into a cast member in the New York City subway station.
Was this in the 80s, you think?
Yeah, probably.
Probably in the 80s?
Yeah. It was 40 years ago?
Yeah. Don't say that.
Wow, how old am I?
Another downer.
All right, Brian, if you have to ask me how old you are, it might be really old.
It is.
Anybody else got any questions for him? Come on up real quick. Come on up. I don't. Oh, wait a minute. I don't see a name tag on this guy.
Oh, look out!
What is it, Dave?
Dave.
Hello, Dave.
I'm Dave Ryan.
How are you, Dave?
Ryan. Who was the composer of Swanee River?
That was great.
Great.
Good night, everybody. We're not topping that, okay? That's it. The show's over. Shuffle it out. Beat it. Wow. Two good nights. Wow.
I have one question that I get asked the most about my father is, was he as funny at home as he was on television? That seems to be the question. And he was funny. My mother was hysterical. But he was very funny and very quiet. He used to sit and read the paper in the morning, watch television, and he wasn't a comic all day long at all. So that's the answer to that.
See, I always think of your dad as this intellectual who could just turn it off and then turn into the clown. See, that's how I thought of your dad. Like, I can picture him doing a crossword puzzle, you know, with his glasses at the end of his nose, and he's like, da, 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 da. And then
easy, just, E-S-Y.
E-S-Y.
I got a friend named Nat.
Nat Birdbaum, yes.
Nat Birdbaum. No, he lived a simple life. We have a beach house up in Connecticut that, thank God, I still have. And he used to go, it's a little town called Westbrook, Connecticut. And he would go out every morning and get a quart of milk or something and buy a couple of newspapers, sit in the living room, look out the picture window at the water. And he was very content doing that. He lived a very simple life. He didn't even have his pants hemmed. He used to buy chinos and just roll them up.
You know. I was glad you finished that sentence when you said he didn't have pants. Yeah. And then I'm like, could you please finish the sentence? Because then it's going to be another thing on Johnny Carson where he comes out with just his underwear.
And he had
never again will I wear
these little pants.
He had the shoes that had the Velcro across the front. So he was just a very simple guy. And I loved him very much.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
All right. Maybe we'll take one more for Brian, and then we're going to take a break. We'll mingle, and then we're going to do the $99,000 answer, everybody.
So everybody...
Oh,
wait a minute. Admiral Dewey's coming up.
Grand High Exalted.
Mystic Ruler.
Come on up.
Raccoon.
Hi, I'm Rob.
Rob.
As you can see, I'm a casual Honeymooners fan.
Right, casual.
I left the pajamas at home. Seriously, though, I just wanted to say, you know, I've heard everybody talking about all the different things that your dad was associated with, and some of them are all connected. Like the Twilight Zone episode.
Oh, right.
Episode. The Night of the Meek.
Right.
One of the greatest episodes of all time. Love that show.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the other thing is there was a field goal kicker for the San Diego Chargers by the name of John Carney. And on ESPN, every time there was a highlight, Chris Berman would go, John Carney!
That's right.
A little funk for Dad right there. And I mean, your dad, he was like into everything socially and stuff like this. Do you know his dad was on the Star Wars Christmas special? Does anybody remember that?
Boy.
One of the rare things on television. I don't know how Dad felt about it, but it became...
You know what he said to me? He said, they paid me a pretty penny for it.
Yeah.
That's what he said to me.
Yeah.
I said, Dad, what are you thinking?
You said that at your age and everything? Well, there you go.
I said that also about the movie Take This Job and Shove It that he did. And Wong Tong Tong, the wonder dog that saved Hollywood. These are some of my favorites.
He was on Batman, too. Wasn't he Archer?
He was the Archer on Batman.
The Archer? That was okay. I like that.
Your dad was a great piano player.
Yeah.
And he was really playing the piano on Why Must You Always Start With Da 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 Da.
Yeah? In the key of C.
In the key of C. And he snuck in the Jackie Gleason theme in there, too.
Yeah, he did. That's when McGarrity comes knocking on the door. Yes.
But when we heard that you were going to be here today, and this is like a dream for to be associated with everybody in this room now, because this is a little show that started in the 50s, and we're still here talking about it. It's still relevant. We still love it. And thank you for being here today. Yeah. I just want to let you know that.
Oh, it's my pleasure. My pleasure, really.
One more thing. I see the Emmys. I see the Oscars. I saw the Golden Globe. They're left out on the thing. Anybody could walk out with those babies. You got the hat on the lock and key over there. Like, don't even look at it.
Well, they can be replaced, you see.
Back it.
I have to ask one last question. Have you ever been made an offer for the hat?
No.
Wow. I'll give you $5.
No, never have.
If somebody offered you millions of dollars, would you do it?
Millions?
Millions. I'm putting it on the spot now.
Wait a minute. We need that hat for next.
Is this on?
Yeah.
Millions?
Yeah. Let's say one of the billionaires wants to add it to his collection.
You mean like $5 million?
Yeah. Yeah. Elon 35% drops your
stock holder.
Elon drops your diet.
Now, wait a minute. Think about that.
Why
now.
I hear this.
You know, I, you know.
You gonna put it on your tax return?
$5 million?
Let's say he offers you nice round figure 10.
$10 million?
Would you take the hat? Or do you keep the hat? Or?
I could do a lot of good with $10 million.
You could?
I mean, not just for myself. I'd keep...
Okay. He's nine. An honest man.
I'd keep nine for myself.
All right. I was going to offer you a grand, so I'm out of it.
That's a tough question. I don't want to part with it, though. I see how much enjoyment it brings people.
Well, look at it.
And that's why it's not in the Institute, the Smithsonian.
Yes. This is why I made that question.
I would ask about that.
Because it's tied to you for the rest of your life.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
And God bless you. We love this guy, don't we?
Yep.
I don't need it right now.
Nice to meet you.
Thank you.
And tomorrow night at this
Thank
time,
guys.
His braids will be turned to platinum.
Yes.
Thank you,
guys.
I'm feeling.
Thank you, Brian.
Thank you so much.
Everybody, mingle for a little bit. We're going to come back in a little while, have some dessert.
One question.
Oh, we got one question. Hold on.
One question.
Brian, on the way back to your seat, can you do the huckle buckle again?
Yeah. He wants to do the huckle buckle on the way back to your seat. He wants to film you doing it. Go ahead, enjoy your desserts. We're going to come back in a little while. There he is. I got to bring this up.
This has been a Non-Productive Media presentation. Executive producer, Frank Hablawi. This program and many others like it on the Non-Productive Network is distributed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license. Please share it, but ask before trying to change it or sell it. For more information, visit non-productive.com.